Welcome or welcome back to Turner Syndrome Talking Tea with your host, Emily Seymour. What I hope for this podcast is, I hope it makes people affected by Turner Syndrome feel less alone. And I hope it spreads awareness on Turner Syndrome because it really needs it. I have a lot of different perspectives on Turner Syndrome in this podcast, from ladies themselves with Turner Syndrome, to mums, to dads, to doctors, a lot of different experiences with Turner Syndrome. So there's something here for everyone. So I hope you enjoyed this episode. Hi everyone, welcome back. So we've got Anita here today. Hi Anita.
Hello.
How are you?
I'm great, thank you. It's very exciting to be doing this. Thank you for asking me.
Oh, no worries at all. I'm glad you're excited. It's nice to feel the excitement. Yeah. Where are we talking to you from?
I'm in Toronto, Ontario, Canada.
Oh, okay.
And I've lived here all my life, actually. Mm. But my parents are actually Finnish immigrants. They immigrated here just before I was born. So I'm Canadian, but my background as far back as you can go is from Finland.
Interesting. Yeah. So I want to ask you a few things about Turner's, if that's okay.
Sure.
What's your relationship with Turner's?
Well, I don't know about a relationship. I haven't really had many health issues that are related to it until recently, but those are pretty much under control now. I've had a few health issues like high blood pressure. I had a mild heart attack in May and was diagnosed with diabetes. And then in August, I was in the hospital with some liver issues, and then that led to a celiac diagnosis. But things are stable now and I'm feeling good. And, you know, in general, it doesn't affect my day-to-day life at all. So it's not something that's foremost on my mind. And I live on my own. I work full time as a medical secretary for a cardiologist. I can drive. It's never stopped me from doing anything, really. So I have a very full life and spend lots of time with friends and family. I'm involved at my church. I sometimes sing and speak at church, and I've even written a few books. I've written a novel and a book of short stories and a book of poetry. So I have a pretty full, in some ways it's boring, but in other ways it's really fun and exciting. And I really have to say, I enjoy my life.
That's far from boring, I would say. I know you said things are stable now, but the fact that you had a mild heart attack when your job is in cardiology, that must have been pretty scary for you, although that must have been quite good because you knew the early signs, maybe.
Well, that was it. I did know what was going on, and it that actually made a big difference. I was on the phone and there was an ambulance at my door within minutes. Within a half hour after that, I was already being wheeled into surgery for stents. And it was just by another hour and a bit after that, I was in the recovery room. So it all went very, very quickly. And the timing was just, there was absolutely, there was hardly any time for any damage or any, damage to the heart or anything. So it was actually a really, if it had to happen, it happened in the best way possible.
Yeah. So before we go on to the next question, I want to ask you about your novels, because that sounds quite cool. So what were they about?
Well, my novel is, it's actually just a Christian fiction. I guess that would be sort of the genre that you would put it under. There is a character in there that I wrote in that has Turner's. So I introduced that into the mix, and some of it is taken from personal experience, even though it's fiction, but there's little tidbits here and there that I've drawn on personal experience from. And I mean, I enjoy it. It's I enjoyed reading it and writing it, and I've given some copies to some friends and family, and they've seemed to enjoy it. And so that's the novel. And then I've written some short stories, and I've put those just different ones, totally like unrelated topics with the short stories. But one of them is about a young girl who's first diagnosed with Turner's, and her sort of from her mother's perspective, how it affected her mother. And so it was that was a pretty neat thing to write. And it's in a collection. So I just put all the short stories into like one book. There's about, I think I have about eight short stories in there, something like that. And then over many years, I've written up many poems, just different things. A lot of them are more spiritual, but some of them not as much so. But my faith is very important to me, so the spirituality often comes out in my poems and so on. But I just put them all into one volume, and yeah, those are all available on lulu.com. But I those are the three, and I am working on a second novel actually at the moment. So
Oh, okay.
yeah.
I
So I
love
enjoy
that.
writing. It's a really good outlet.
I love that. Why not include Turner's if you're the writer? Why not?
Well,
I
why
really
not?
love that.
Yeah, there's no, and I think it actually adds to the story, and it will put that much more awareness out there. And yeah.
Definitely, definitely. What's your most negative experience on Turner's?
Sorry?
What's your most negative experience on Turner's, or what's the most challenging aspect of Turner's?
The biggest challenge, I think, for me was the finding out about the infertility. I've always wanted to be a mom, so being told that I couldn't have kids when I was a 14-year-old teenager, it was pretty devastating, because even then I wanted to be a mom, at some point in my life. And so that was a pretty difficult thing. But I've learned to focus on the kids that I do have in my life and love them well, rather than focusing on the fact that they aren't my biological children. And like, for example, I have a cousin she's 23 now, but ever since she was like 3 years old, we've been doing, she's come over for sleepovers and things like that. We've done, fun trips to the zoo and different events. I took her to her first concert, Taylor Swift, by the way. And yeah, and then I have a nephew who's 16. When he was younger, we spent a lot of time doing, I'd take him to the zoo and things like that. Now he's a teenager, so he's more about gaming and all that. So we don't do that kind of thing that much anymore. But we did when he was younger. And then I have a friend with a 14-year-old daughter who I've spent lots of time with and taken out places. And then I now have a nephew, another nephew who's 9 months old, who I look forward to doing all that kind of fun stuff with. So, it's a lot of it is being focusing on the good things that you do have, and being grateful and maximizing on those than focusing on what you don't, I think. And the best part is that I get to do all the fun stuff with them and then send them home when they're tired and cranky. So that's the part that's really, but I've also struggled with self-esteem and insecurity issues, which many women with Turner's do. For me to work through that, a good counselor was a key in my case. And I don't think those things ever go away completely, even with counseling, and that I think they're always a part of you. They're just a part of your makeup. but you can learn how to deal with them and what to do when you're find when you find yourself struggling in the middle of a situation. So yeah, I think those have been the biggest challenges in like for me in my own life, and I think for a lot of other Turners women as well.
Yeah, I think I've definitely felt the pressure to be, like you said, to try and focus on the positives with infertility. And it's kind of, this isn't a knock against you or anything at all.
Exactly.
It's easier said than done sometimes.
Absolutely.
Just in the, on the whole, if you're kind of looking for the positives, then it's good. But there will be days, like you just said about the self-esteem, there will be days with the infertility where you could be like, oh, and then you might be okay. Yeah.
Exactly. I mean, just, yeah, like focusing on the positive doesn't mean that you won't have bad days either, and that, you know, those thoughts won't creep up. But I think a lot of it too is your own personality. If you're more inclined to look at the positive aspect of things, then you're probably going to do that, even with infertility and other things. But, you know, I think you can also train yourself a little bit to do that. But yeah, I think sometimes we need a little help with that as well. So
yeah, which is fine. Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, I think personally, I think almost everybody would benefit from a good counselor at some point or other in their life. And it's nothing to do with, you know, them being weak or, you know, whatever. But we all need help sometimes. We can't do it all ourselves.
Exactly.
So,
what's your most positive aspect of Turners?
I would say one of the most positive experiences has been just meeting other amazing women with Turners. For example, through the Turner Syndrome Society of Canada, I've been to a couple of conferences, which were really great experiences. I had the privilege of helping with the planning of one of those just before pre-COVID. And so that was really positive from both the planning and the attending aspect. The seminars were really helpful, and I learned a lot from the sessions. It was so nice making new connections and, you know, just meeting new people and seeing, you know, hearing about other people's experiences as well, that, you know, who I haven't heard from before. And I think another positive experience is that it's given me a little more understanding with people in general. You don't always know what someone's going through, and you can't tell what they're going through just from looking at them and, you know, just from like seeing them. So I think it's, Turners has helped me to be more empathetic to the fact that we all have our issues and we need kindness and not judgment, and just understanding that, yeah, we all have our issues, and we need to treat each other with love and grace, and not, you know, just accept each other for who they are, who we are.
Yeah. There is a level of empathy that comes with Turners, I think.
Yes. I think so too. I do see that a lot in many of the other women that I've met as well.
Yeah. So you said a little bit about the Turner Syndrome Support Society Canada. How have they helped you? You said a little bit the friends. How else have they helped
you? Yeah. Well, it's just been wonderful meeting other women with Turners and seeing that I'm not alone in my experience. I mean, we all have different experiences, but it's still interesting to see the differences and similarities with the other women. And just, I think it's simply knowing that there are other women I know who have gone through or are going through similar situations that I have is a major step in dealing with past issues and maybe issues that will come up in the future. Like just knowing their stories and knowing what they've been through and how they've gotten through it, it really does make a difference when you're going through something yourself. And there's been a few times when I knew someone went through a particular situation that was having trouble, that I was having trouble with. And when I reached out to them, I found that they were very happy to share their own experience and, you know, just share what they went through and how they got through it. And also, like, there's so many great resources from the Turner Syndrome Society of Canada, the US, the UK. Like, they have really good resources that, you know, I can use if I need them, or, and, you know, I can refer other women to should I find somebody, for example, who might be newly diagnosed, or their daughter might be newly diagnosed, or whatever, that I can refer them to and know that they will get good practical advice and resources that will actually help them, and, you know, show them things that they can actually do to help.
Yeah, it's nice. All of the information is in one place, isn't it?
Yes, exactly.
And all the correct information, because there is quite a lot of misinformation out there.
There's a lot of misinformation. Even when I was diagnosed, that was like 40 years ago now. You know, the doctor basically they didn't offer my mom any options, any suggestions as to what to do. They just, okay, well, this is what it is. And that's it. Like, they, you know, so it was pretty hard on my mom, actually, I think, not knowing any of that. And a lot of the resources were just not as readily available now as they are now. Back then, they were not so easily accessible. And, you know, so, but now it's nice that everything is so easy to access. And that has been my experience with how I've been helped. I do know, like, I know when it was a couple years after I was diagnosed, there was a Dr. Cowell. She's no longer with us, but here in Toronto, her name was Dr. Cowell. And she, my uncle actually became a family doctor, and he referred us to her. And so she's then the one who sort of started me on a, you know, proper, like, just maintenance or whatever, you know, hormone therapy and that sort of thing, and just a proper health regimen to keep on top of the health issues that might come up and all of that. So she was the first one to really sort of be in charge of my own personal healthcare to do with Turner's and the health issues that come with that. So
okay. So you said a little bit about your involvement. Is there anything else you want to add to that?
Well, I have been involved with the Turner Syndrome Society of Canada for a number of years now, you know, helping planning events and that sort of thing. Not as much since COVID, because we haven't had a lot of events since then, but I do hope to get a little more involved again in the future. But I also am on a board of directors and a couple of other committees that they're not related to Turner's, but they do take some time and commitment. And I also get a lot of satisfaction and fulfillment from my involvement with them. So, you know, as time allows, though, I would like to be a bit more involved with the society in Canada again, and because there is still a lot of misinformation out there, and a lot of girls and women still feel very much alone, especially when they're first diagnosed. And, you know, I would like to be a part of spreading more awareness and helping other girls and women who with Turner's who might be having a difficult time, you know, for whatever, you know, physical, emotional, whatever reason. I think that I do hope to be a bit more involved again as time allows.
Yeah. What's your most important message on tennis?
I think there's a lot of fear when someone is first diagnosed. Especially, I think when a girl is diagnosed on the part of their mother, I think the mothers. I know my mom. There was a lot of fear and a lot of just not knowing. You know, when you don't know, it's hard not knowing about something and just trying to figure things out when you have no information or you have the wrong information. So I think the most important message for them would be just to also not let their daughter be defined by Turner's, even though she may have it, but that's not who she is. She can be and do whatever she sets her mind to. And in my case, I was 14, and in a way, I'm glad that it was a bit later. Because at that point, I already knew what I was capable of, and my parents knew what I was capable of because I was already doing it. So, you know, had I been diagnosed from birth, for example, I think my parents might have tried to shelter me a lot more instead of just letting me do what they already knew I could do and what I knew I could do.
Yeah.
And just spread my wings and fly like a strong, independent butterfly.
I like that message.
Thank
Is
you.
there anything else you'd like to add to your episode before we finish?
I think just that, you know, I think part of the journey for me has just been to learn to not just to accept who I am, but to embrace and love who I am. You know, it's not just accepting, but to truly embrace who you are and learn to love all those things that you might think are weird or strange or whatever, or that you don't like, but learn to actually, oh, you know, that's actually a good thing, you know, and just learn to really love yourself for who you are.
Yeah.
And love, you know, the things that are a part of who you are, because Turner's is a part of who you are, whether you like it or not. It is a part of it. It's a part of who you are. It makes you who you are. So yeah, I think that would be my biggest message to anybody listening out there.
Yeah, I like that. And I've really enjoyed this episode, and I've really enjoyed meeting you, Anita. Thank you for your time.
Well, thank you for having me. This has been wonderful. Thank you for asking me to be here.
It's okay, no worries at all. And everyone listening, I hope you enjoyed that, and I'll see you next week. I hope you enjoyed that episode. If you want to know more about Turner's, go to www.tss.org.uk. And that is the website for the official Turner Syndrome Support Society UK charity. Or you can go back to my first ever episode on this podcast where I explain what Turner's is and how it's affected me. So I hope you have a really great week, and I will see you in the next episode.